from the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Fresh back from San Francisco, where I was at the New Living Expo. There's some pictures up there that Lex took. Lex was there too. Up on the coasttocoastam.com website. Wonderful time. And thank you to all of you who showed up to say hello. By the way, happy birthday tonight to Richard C. Hoagland from the enterprisemission.com. Happy birthday, Richard. Number 60, I'm told. And we are going to check in with you, Richard, at the halfway point this hour. And by the way, under listener's email, take a look at the birthday greetings picture. By the way, Bad Boy sent it to us of the Imaginative Worlds. But that picture was created by Gino. And so take a look at that picture in Dale. And I think Dale is with the Fantastic Forum, he is. And he created that about a year ago. Great picture, by the way, Dale, of Richard C. Hoagland. Next hour, a comprehensive look at astral projection with Robert Bruce. Let me give you some quick stories of the day, and then we'll get into our very exciting guest this hour. First of all, this is being reported that Iran is not only covertly developing nuclear weapons, apparently, it's already testing ballistic missiles specifically designed to destroy America's technological infrastructure, effectively neutralizing the world's lone superpower, according to U.S. intelligence sources. The radical Shiite regime has conducted successful tests to determine if its Shahab-3 ballistic missiles, capable of carrying a nuclear warhead, can be detonated by remote control while still high in altitude flight. Now, why would they want to do this? Well, according to scientists, including former President Reagan's top science advisor, William R. Graham, there is an explanation here that if they do that, it would be like deploying electromagnetic pulse weapons that would knock out America's critical electrical and technological infrastructure, effectively sending the continental U.S. back to the 19th century with a recovery time of months or years. This is a story being reported in World Net Daily. If you go to the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories, take a look at the one of the little boy from China. Take a look at that actual picture. We looked at it for some time thinking, come on now, is this real? Apparently it is. It's about a three-year-old who may have had some of the effects of the old Agent Orange that was used heavily by U.S. Armed Forces during the Vietnam War. I'm not going to describe the picture, but go ahead and take a look at it if you want. Investigators focused on excessive speed and a 23-year-old train driver's lack of experience after a crowded commuter train jumped the rails on a curve and plowed into an apartment building, causing Japan's deadliest rail accident in four decades. As of right now, 73 people are dead, hundreds others injured. Pope Benedict XVI says that he had viewed the idea of being elected pope as a guillotine, and he prayed to God during the recent conclave to be spared selection. But evidently, this time, he said, God didn't listen to me. Benedict, 78 years old, said he'd hoped to spend his last years just living quietly and peacefully. A man in Russia who woke up with a splitting headache after a heavy drinking session found a kitchen knife stuck in his face. He apparently had invited a pal for a round of drinks, but went to bed early after telling his friend that he was fed up with hearing him moan and groan about life. He woke up that night with a splitting headache, went to the bathroom to get a glass of water when he noticed the knife was sticking out of his face just below his eye. In a panic, he ran to a neighbor's house and called an ambulance. They rushed him to the hospital. Apparently, a half an inch closer to the eye, he would have been dead. Scientists say Russia's X-ray vision girl, who claims to be able to see inside the human body, can also spot internal injuries just by looking at a photograph. She has been undergoing tests in Japan into her apparent X-ray vision, which has enabled her to diagnose medical conditions. Previous tests in London and New York led to mixed results, but British scientists are convinced that there was some doubt in the U.S. program, and they think that she really has the ability to look at people with X-ray vision. And visitors to Hamburg parks in Germany are being warned to watch out for exploding toads. That's right, several thousand toads in the city's parks have so far mysteriously and spontaneously exploded. Scientists are trying to figure out just what is going wrong with some of these toads. And in a minute, our guest will be Mr. Don Herbert, because remember this song, those of you who are old enough? That's the theme song to Watch Mr. Wizard. And our very special guest, Don Herbert, in the studio, Mr. Wizard, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, born in 1917 in Minnesota, Don Herbert, whom many of us know as Mr. Wizard, conceived and wrote the Watch Mr. Wizard show that first aired back in the early 50s in Chicago, and then eventually it went national. He has touched the lives of many of us, including me, teaching, influencing, and motivating. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read this email that I just got moments ago from Jim. It says, George, please convey my thanks to Mr. Herbert. I enjoyed every minute of his shows, and as an engineering student, we performed many of his experiments. I also used his explanations of the way things work to answer questions in class and during tests. I've now been an engineer for 13 years and still quote some of the experiments. He has made a big difference in my life, and I'm sure I'm not the only one in this country that can share those kinds of stories. Wish him the best for me. And there are so many people. Don Herbert. Hi, Don. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you very much.
And you had an influence on my life, too.
Yeah.
I used to watch the Mr. Wizard shows all the time. And you produced lots of them every year, didn't you?
Yeah.
How did you conceive of the idea to do a science show? How did that happen?
It happened because I was trained to be a science teacher, but never did teach. Instead, was far more interested in the theater and radio and television and so forth. And when it came time to do something about television, I went to the library and looked up all the things that kids could do, like what to do on a rainy day, for example.
Sure.
And made notes and organized them according to what I thought was the most significant and so forth, and then went around and tried to sell it to television stations, although there weren't that many around in those days, 1951. And fortunately, I found the Serial Institute, which is an organization of serial manufacturers, were looking for a program that had a strong educational flavor in order to be able to put a breakfast message in the middle of it. Eat a good breakfast of fruit, cereal,
right,
milk, bread and butter, or other foods for variety, like eggs, you know, and so forth. And they bought the program and, in effect, took it to NBC. And NBC put it on the air without charging the Serial Institute time. They made a sort of contribution.
Sure.
It was a very unusual arrangement in which the Serial Institute, in effect, underwrote a public affairs program.
Which really didn't happen a lot in those days. Not like that.
Never would happen again like that in a million years.
Exactly. How did you, Don, come up with the ideas of the various science topics?
I was trained to be a science teacher, so I knew there were a lot of demonstrations that teachers used in class, and all I did was sort of adapt them for television, and came up with the idea finally of having a child come over to my house, supposedly.
Sure.
And the two of us did experiments sort of together, and That was one of the things that was a compliment to me, because when I would go around and see kids, they would say, ask how they could get on the show, because they thought it was looked like a lot of fun.
Sure.
Which was a great compliment.
It was. Now, you would always bring in, what, one child or maybe two at the most? You didn't have, like, a whole audience of kids, did you?
Never more than one.
Oh, just the one?
Just one. Either the boy or the girl, one or the other.
I was watching, and I remembered it. And then when I watched one of your DVDs, I remember the one you did of Electricity with a little kid named Alan. And this was just in... How long did it take you to put that apparatus together? Because it went through, and you were showing him the various stages of electricity and how it's created. It went through maybe like five or six different stages. How long did it take you to put that together?
Obviously, no more than a week, because we did a live show, you know, every weekend. So I had a crew of three people who helped me put it together, so that once I could outline it, they could go ahead and do a lot of the work.
To a lot of people who might not have seen that, it was an incredible array of things where a record would vibrate and a spoon would be full of a liquid. The spoon would tip. The liquid would go into another chemical. The chemical would catch on fire. The heat would move a balloon with a light, and it just went on and on. It was just fantastic. Because these were live shows, Mr. Wizard, did anything ever go wrong and you had to scramble fast to try to fix it?
Yeah, every once in a while something would go wrong. But when you're doing a live show and something goes wrong, you can ad-lib your way around it in order to explain what happened and so
right.
on and so forth. So that added an element of suspense as far as the audience was concerned and as far as I was concerned as well. So very seldom did something go wrong that was so drastic that we had to resort to severe measures. One of the experiments that I did that did go wrong, NBC left it in.
Uh-huh.
In other words, we didn't never edit the tape.
Yeah.
So the fact that I made a horrible error and was seen from coast to coast.
You had fun doing these programs. When I looked at some of the kids who are on the shows, now they must be 40, 50, 55 years old. It's amazing.
Right.
It's like, for me, it's almost like time stood still. When I looked at those DVDs, I sometimes think I'm still a kid. You know what? I'm Peter Pan looking at those shows.
Yeah.
You don't age. I had an opportunity to meet you in St. Louis. It must have been about 1979 or 80. I was a news director at the NBC television station there. And you were putting together a board of news directors as an advisory committee for the snippets that you would send out to television stations. And I had a great time doing that. And it looked great on my resume, by the way. I think it got me my other jobs.
Yeah.
As you look back at your career, and you're 88 years old, you're going to be 88 years old, what has been for you the most satisfying thing you've done?
Probably the most satisfying thing is the fact that... people who are scientists say that Mr. Wizard, in effect, influenced them, and that they got interested in science because of Mr. Wizard, which, of course, is a great compliment. And many of them have said that they are scientists because of Mr. Wizard, which I don't think is true, but I don't argue with them.
Well, I'll tell you, one of my friends, and you're going to love this story, one of my friends, his name was Gary Frank, is Gary Frank, he's still alive, and Gary and I grew up in Detroit, and we used to watch Mr. Wizard, and we love science, and there, two people in science had an effect on my life, and I've talked to one, and now I've talked to the other, you. There was, one was a fellow by the name of Dr. Morgus, who was like a zany television character, and then there was you, the person who brought us real science. But my friend used to watch you all the time, Don, and you had such an effect on him. He eventually went off and built the engines for the space shuttle.
Oh, okay.
How about that? Yeah. So, I mean, your tentacles go everywhere. What do you think of television today when you watch it? And you think back of 1951 when you were doing what you do.
You sort of write it off as a commercial medium, period.
Yeah.
It's very good for commercials. And you have to pick and choose very carefully the kind of programs that you're going to spend some time watching.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, you know, the situation comedies don't appeal to me at all.
What do you think, like, the new cable shows that are real, that have to do with, like, real science?
In fact, I have never watched one of them.
Really?
Right. No. They...
The real science that has occurred over the years, like the Hubble Space Telescope and things like that. Is there an interest there for you in things like that?
Yeah.
In your opinion, what would you recommend to young people today who don't have the benefit of seeing TV shows like we saw when we were a kid, who don't have the benefit of seeing Mr. Wizard, other than, and I'm going to tell people where they can get some of these old DVDs because they go on forever, but what would you tell a kid today if you met one, a 10-year-old, who wants to get into science?
Well, you certainly don't do it via television. That's for sure. A kid interested in science obviously should take a lot of math and as much science as he possibly can in school. And we should not just say he. We're trying to get girls interested in the whole thing also, as well. And they don't necessarily have to be interested in science as such, because they can be very active in engineering, which is the practical application of science and so forth.
You know, I'm going to say that you are, without a doubt, one of the living legends of television. There's just a few people out there that I think have had an effect on people. You know, in his own way, Captain Kangaroo did a marvelous job, I think, of getting kids to go in the right direction. Soupy Sales was funny in his own way. And then you, Don Herbert, Mr. Wizard. How'd you come up with the name, Mr. Wizard?
I had originally a title for the show. I think it was like Our Amazing World or something like that. You know, not a very exciting title. And I was doing an audition for an advertising agency, and the account executive and I were going up in the elevator, and he said, "I don't like your title particularly." I said, "Well, I don't either, but I can't think of a better one." And he said, "Why don't you call it Wizard?" I said, "Well, I didn't like that too. I like the idea of it, but suggesting that there was an old codger with a
big old hat.
With stars and moons in it and so forth and so forth." So I don't want people to think that that's what the program is like.
Right.
So I came up with the idea of adding Mr. to it in order to sort of get away from that title. So Mr. Wizard, he said, "Yeah, that's a pretty good idea." He liked the title very much. However, he didn't buy the show, in spite of the fact of the new title. But that's how the name was born, and of course, I've been called Mr. Wizard ever since.
Once the program was on, was it an instant success? Did you find it building very quickly?
Yes. In fact, I think one of the reasons why it took off so quick was that it was relatively inexpensive to produce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy and his kid, you know, fooling around with stuff.
And some props.
And also, we saw to it that on every program, if we possibly could, we would have something that kids could repeat at home.
And you are absolutely right. Yeah. My mother, after one of your shows, I'd go to the kitchen, because a lot of the things you could get from the kitchen.
Right, right.
She knew I had just watched the Mr. Wizard show, because I started pulling out everything. I mean everything. Pots, pans, yeah. Glasses. And then I started going to stores and buying chemical beakers and things like that. You had an influence. I'm going to give you an option. You can stay with us and take some phone calls that I'll relay to you.
Okay.
Or we can just shake hands and I can give you a hug. What do you want to do? You want to stay?
All right,
we'll stay. We're going to open up the phone lines and give you an opportunity to ask a question to Mr. Wizard, and I'm going to relay it to him. Okay, Don Herbert, our guest, and I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. Call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And you're going to be able to talk to and give a question to Don Herbert, Mr. Wizard, in just a moment. Hey, by the way, the free weekend is on its way, May 6, 7, and 8 for you. Free StreamLink weekend. Take advantage of that. I'll tell you why. Because you are going to have in May 9th, those of you who are StreamLink members, podcasting. Free. It's coming out of the Coast to Coast AM Media Center. Free podcasting. We're going to give you some software. You'll be able no longer to have to wait about clicking and waiting for wasted time to download your favorite Coast to Coast programs. It will be there waiting for you whenever you want in the morning. This is dramatic. Go to the coasttocoastam.com website and read all about it. We'll have much more for you in just a moment. Well, Richard C. Hoagland, my friend, on behalf of everybody at Coast to Coast and all our listeners, happy 60th birthday, my friend.
God, it's my first tetrahedral birthday, George.
How do you feel? Do you feel 60?
No, of course not. You know, none of us ever feel how old people are basically claiming that we are. And I certainly don't feel. I mean, when I look back at my life and what someone tonight, we had a wonderful celebration here, and I had friends, you know, John and Woody and Lori and Nick and Dana and, of course, Robin. And I think it was John who said, or was it Lori? They said, well, look at it this way. From here on, it's downhill.
Well, I tell you what, Richard.
Which I do not agree with.
We have a little surprise for you. We're going to bring him in right now. Hello, surprise guest. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you,
fine.
George? Richard, this is Walter.
Hi, Walter.
How are you? Let me tell you, they contacted me, and I want to wish you a very happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
And I've got
very
to tell
honored.
The story. I want to tell George and everyone that when we worked together on the Apollo coverage, Richard was more interested in babbling about Mars and this kind of thing. But it was wonderful, and I'm coming for correspondence dinner that we had here in New York, Richard, and I wanted to wish you a happy birthday. But I really wished you hadn't led me astray with a lot of your hocus-pocus nonsense, you know. You know?
Thank you. It's a little man living in cave.
I would say at that time we had an editor by the name of, I don't know if you remember, Bernie Pleiss. He was one of our editors. He said, I think Richard is living on Mars. I think he's he's imagining things. And I said, well, I think there's something in the medical plan that might cover that at CBS, you know, at the time. But all of the people that you mentioned, Richard, there at your birthday party, can you hear me?
Yes.
Are they real people?
Thanks, Walter. And that's the way it used to be.
Indeed it was. But thank God I'm away from you now and living wherever I live. But honestly, we're all kidding aside, happy birthday. I heard you say you don't feel 60.
No, not at all.
Well, every day if I see a picture in the newspaper or magazine, by God, he looks 60, doesn't he? But you're... No, you don't look 60. You don't even look 70. You look 80.
I love it. Thanks, Mr. Cronkite.
Well, you're welcome. Hey, George, one other thing.
Yes, sir.
I got that hand crank radio or whatever that...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's baloney.
It works.
Well, it's great chili. It's not a good radio, but I was able to grate cheese with it.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Cronkite.
You're certainly welcome.
All right.
Thank you, Richard, and all of you people. I got to go to bed.
All right. Well, Richard, a little surprise for you.
George, I'm going to get you for this.
I hope Walter never calls in on my birthday.
I have to get you a suit.
You got it. Hey, Richard, happy birthday.
Thank you, George, and thanks everyone in the audience. I really appreciate everybody.
All the time, my friend.
Thanks.
And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest, Mr. Wizard Don Herbert, and your phone calls, and we'll go east of the Rockies. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Yes, good morning. What a great honor. This is John in Mid-City, New Orleans. Mr. Don, Mr. Wizard Herbert, I'm just curious, you know, people like Jerry Mahoney, the ventriloquist, came up with a contribution to the artificial heart world. Mr. Eddie Albert, the actor, came up with a bomb site. I'm just curious if you, not necessarily so much yourself per se, but you know, if you came up with something, or if you've seen the inspiration of those that you inspired and influenced, like myself, one of the kids watching you every week. Did you see anything come and go if you didn't create it yourself, that you yourself inspired, that contributed to the invention?
Good question. Any inventions come your way, Don, from some of the shows that you did? Let me say it again. Any inventions come your way from some of the shows that you did, or anything like that?
And by the way, one of the things I want to make sure to mention before we go too far, and that is that we have on a website in which people can tune in and see some of the material that we have available. The shows that you're talking about that we did way back in the 50s are now on DVD. And it's the website is MrWizardStudios.com.
And that's MR. MrWizardStudios.com.
No capitals, no periods, no, all one long word.
Okay, and I'm relaying your questions when you call in straight to Don Herbert. And Don, the caller wanted to know, with all the experiments that you did on television,
right,
did any of them turn into inventions or anything that other scientists might have seen and they said, that's not a bad idea?
Well, several people have taken some of the stuff that we did on the air and developed them into a science kit, for example.
Okay.
But we were taking stuff from scientists and from engineers and whatnot and putting them on the show.
Right.
Not that much of it was brand new and different.
Okay. Okay. But it was for kids because we didn't understand real science until you made it interesting for us. And that's how it worked. Let's go to another caller. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Thank you, George. I'm Jack from Lake Arrowhead, and I just wanted to say very quickly, I watched Mr. Wizard religiously as a youngster. My question for him is, I heard what he said about television and its kind of failure as far as helping uplift children and some adults today. And I did hear him say he has a website. My question is, what is his feeling of the potential of the internet to do what television couldn't or wouldn't?
That's a good question, Jack. What do you think of the internet today, Don? And do you think it helps?
Fantastic, yeah. A whole new development that is going to, I think, make a major change in the way we do business, the way we do how we have fun.
Sure.
How we get information. In fact, that's the first thing I do. If I have some kind of a question, the first thing I do is look it up on the web.
Yeah.
Because it's there. It's amazing.
I'm
the
same way.
It's available there.
You know, when we arranged to have you come on the program, obviously I couldn't remember all the things you've done over the years, but I went to your website and I went to the internet, right, and it sure makes it easy.
Yeah. And by the way, the guy who designed the website is sitting right here, Tom Nicosia, the guy who did it.
Very nice job, Tom.
Beautiful job.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to give a toll-free number out to those of you who do not have computers if you want to pick up some of the Mr. Wizard DVD series. And let me tell you, it's kind of nice just to have. And those of you who are old enough to remember Mr. Wizard, you might want to show them to your kids or your grandchildren because they will learn something. Let's pick it up now and go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on with Don Herbert, Mr. Wizard. Hi there.
Hi. Hello, George.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, I wasn't sure if I had the connection. Well, first I want to say happy birthday. And I'm going to try to keep my questions short.
Okay.
Mr. Herbert, a gentleman like him, Mr. Rogers, Bob Keeshan, I mean, TV's just not the same. I would be curious, though, if he had to do a show today, given the level of technological sophistication the kids have today, et cetera, how would he go about it? What would he do the same type of experiments? I mean, how would he adapt to today's society if he was to produce a show today?
Yeah, we'd probably do exactly the same. They're not really experiments. They're more demonstrations. An experiment is an open-ended something, you know, and what you're doing is something to find out something. Well, very few of the things that we did were really experiments. Instead, they were activities or demonstrations or something. We would probably do exactly the same things.
Would you use some of the computer graphics that we have nowadays, Don?
Well, I'm a little hesitant about using computer graphics because we did some of those in the early days when we did the show on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
And I shudder when I see them because they're so out of date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
computers
true.
Have moved so fast and so few that I would probably use some to try to explain some of the things that it would be impossible to do, you know, live.
Right.
Or an actual demonstration. And computer graphics are doing a fantastic job of that. When you realize, you know, Jurassic Park, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I love that stuff.
Fantastic.
Too.
Yeah. I'm amazed constantly. And certainly, if I were doing the show again, I would certainly use some of those techniques.
All right, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with Mr. Wizard. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Ed down here in San Antonio. I guess I just want to give them a big old radio hug and tell them thank you. It was one particular experiment that I saw on his Nickelodeon show that I used to love, where he had the kid standing on his head and eat a piece of food and go through that digestive tract. And that inspired me, and I got two short semesters to get my RN degree, and then hopefully on to medical school where I can be a gastrointestinal surgeon. But
really?
I just wanted to so give him that hug, because that experiment has stuck with me since I was about 8 years old.
How did you come up with that experiment, Don, where you put a kid on his head and you fed him for his to see how his digestive tract worked?
Yes.
What kind of a mind to come up with stuff like that?
Well, a guy who wrote, for example, Westerns, would go out of his way to collect all the material that could possibly have any kind of influence on the kind of thing that he's writing. So he has a big file of Western stuff. Okay, well, I did the same thing with science and engineering. I really collected anything and everything that could possibly be used on the show. And by now, I have 18 file drawers full of collected material.
Oh, my.
And a library of about 1,000 volumes in which concentrate really on science demonstrations. So
that's a lot. It is. Hey, by the way, that toll-free number that I promised you, and I'll give it to you again at the end of this hour. It's 877-467-9492. That's 877-467-9492. And Mr. Wizard's Studios website is linked up with his name on the coasttocoastam.com website, but it's Mr. Wizard Studios, MrWizardStudios.com, and Mr., of course, M-R. Don't spell out the name, Mr. West of the Rockies, you are on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is Gary in California.
Hello, Gary.
And hello to Mr. Wizard.
Hi.
You've been a hero for mine for a long time. My question was, did you have a favorite show, or did you have another show that you really wanted to do that you never had the chance to do?
Did you have a favorite show, Don, of all the ones you did?
Well, one of my favorites is a show called Heat Transfer Tricks.
Heat Transfer Tricks.
Yeah, in which we explain something, and our explanation could be true or false, and the child had to determine when we gave the explanation whether I was telling the truth or not, which is sort of a switch on an unusual thing. That certainly is one of my favorites. Strangely enough, another one of my favorites is a show called Adhesives.
Now, what was that one about?
Well, you know, you'd think that would be a pretty dull show to spend
not with you doing
an hour talking about paste. But it turned out to be far more fascinating than I thought was possible, looking at it now some 30 or 40 years later. So that's one of my favorites.
You know what I enjoy too is the kids you picked were lively and inquisitive and smart and bubbly, and they played off you well. You would do the experiments, and they would have this golly gee attitude of life.
Now, don't forget, they're acting.
Okay.
Because they had seen the demonstrations before.
Okay.
In my office.
Okay.
Whatnot, you know. So, and when we went to the studio, we rehearsed it, but primarily for cameras,
mm-hmm.
not for dialogue. And then when it came time to go on the air, they ad-libbed with me. So that...
So you had no prepared scripts up there, no teleprompters, nothing like that?
No, we had an outline.
Yeah.
But no actual dialogue.
Oh, that was wonderful. Let's say time for maybe one or two more quick calls. Let's go east of the Rockies. Hi there.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
Yeah, it's John here in Winnipeg.
Hey, John.
You know, this sounds like it would be great television today. I can't see why.
It would.
It's just a fantastic idea.
Yeah. I think, Don, if the network's picked up the DVD series. And how many shows do you have now? How many would there be? Hundreds of them, right?
There'd be over 400.
400 of them.
Yeah.
That's a lot of television time.
Yes.
That would be neat to play those again.
A lot of them are pretty out of date as well.
Yeah. How many of them are in black and white, in any in color?
The things we did on Nickelodeon were all in color. So we have 78 half hours that are color.
Well, I tell you, they are truly amazing and put together. And I'm glad because of this, they really last forever now, you know.
I'm surprised. They hold up pretty well.
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
People in the year 2400 are going to say, who was that Mr. Wizard? They might think you were Merlin, for all I know. Which would be wonderful. Well, you know, we've got a little bit of quick time, and all I want to do is come up and shake your hand and thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to end this hour with just a little segment of your electricity show you had, which was pretty dramatic. But for you, Don, and I think my headsets will reach. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I love you. You had such a great, I'm in awe. I'm in awe. Thank you. Here we go.
Oh, hi, let's butt in.
Hi, Mr. Wizard.
All right.
Oh, was that science fiction thing?
Well, it's a science fiction. But what we're going to do today is not friction. Fiction. Watch the spoon.
It's moving. What a strange music.
Well, this is electronic music.
Yeah, it's really moving.
Okay. Well, today you and I are going to play a very common game. You know, the kind of game where there's a picture and they have trees and bushes and houses and whatnot, and you have to sort of look in the little leaves and the bushes to try to find a face or a figure or squirrels or animals or something like that. Well, that's what we're going to play today. And instead of having bushes and a house and trees and things like that, we're going to have all these things I've collected here. So let's see, first of all, you recognize what they are. You recognize this, I assume.
Yeah, it's a record player.
Yeah, it's a record player.
Well, how about that? What a treat. You know, if the Premier folks knew, I would do this for free. I'll be back in a moment as we talk about astral projection with our guest Robert Bruce in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Get it in writing. With the After Dark newsletter, subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505.